thank you for subscribing to Podcast One Premium.
Guys, for those of us who love live sports, this time of year is loaded with great action. The NFL, the NCAA football season is well underway, and the world championship between Daniel Cormier and the number one contender, Anthony Rumble Johnson, is just around the corner. If you guys want to know what makes watching the big events a little bit more fun, it's having action on them, and I suggest you go get it at BetDSI.com. I play there myself. They score an A-plus rating on most sportsbook review sites. They've got great service. BetDSI offers odds on pretty much everything. Of course, all the great sporting events that you know and love, but you can even get action on reality TV shows. You can get action on major sporting or world event. BetDSI. It's quick. It's easy. They have mobile access that works great. Playing there makes watching the big events a lot more intriguing, that's for sure. As a listener of Your Welcome, BetDSI is currently offering a great promotion where you can try them out for free. Simply sign up at BetDSI.com using the promotion code CHAIL10. That's CHAIL, no space, the number 10, and you will get $10 to play for free right now at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com using the code CHAIL10. Now, let's start the show.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday. So happy to be with you all. I'm back in the studio. I've been in Connecticut for 11 or 12 days. And I'm back. I'm back in Portland. Joel, what's happening, man?
What's up, brother?
Here we are. We got a lot to go over. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. We got a lot to go over. There's been a lot going on in the last week. Where do you want to begin? Steer this ship for us.
All right, brother. Well, I've got to say Connor won that fight.
Yeah, Connor did.
I'm gonna say something right now that I've never said or even thought about before ever. Oh, God, this hurts. This hurts in my stomach as I say it.
I like it already.
Conor McGregor is the greatest UFC champion of all time. And as I say it, I'm not lying to you, my stomach hurts by saying it because Brother Randy, up until that moment, in my opinion, was, based on the fact that Randy Couture won the heavyweight title, I think, two times, then the interim middleweight belt, then the legitimate middleweight belt, then went back up and got the heavyweight strap again.
And when you say middleweight, you mean light heavyweight.
Light heavyweight, sorry about that. And then went up and won it again, and then he defended it against Gonzaga. So, yeah, man, hats off to Conor. The thing that is real, man, I'm not gonna, that circus is real, man. That circus that he brings is real. And, oh, man, Connor, you're the man.
Look, I get it.
The Godfather is eating crow.
I get it. I get it all. And, you know, to continue on the bandwagon, but this is a very relevant point that has to be appreciated, not just considered, but appreciated, is the level of stress that environment created that Connor competed under, that he operated in, that he went out there, took care of business against the world champion, the baddest dude alive in that weight class, and in that kind of environment, MSG, biggest show of all time, biggest gate in company history. I'm sure the pay-per-view is also going to support that. He walked out into that environment and was still able to find that level of success. You know, I mean, you talk about going out and competing and taking care of business and performing and using your skills. He stood his ground. Eddie could not come forward, which was a huge problem for Eddie, and everybody's had this. I mean, I watched him trap Chad Mendez in the corner like a scared animal. you know, you've got to be coming forward. If you're not coming forward against Connor, you're losing the fight. I thought that Eddie would come forward. I thought that he understood and knew this. And I think he probably would agree with me. But the bottom line is he didn't do it. And Connor also kept him at that range to shut down any kind of wrestling attacks. Wrestling never became a factor in this fight because Eddie was about 2 inches too far out of range. And that surprised me. More than anything, it just surprised me that Connor was able to do that. He looked like he was the bigger fighter. He looked like he was bullying Eddie, who in theory is the larger of the two.
Boy, he sure didn't look like he was the larger of the two. I mean, that was amazing. I want to get back and talk about what I call the circus real quick. And this is, you know, this is going way back to the very first time. No, it was the second time. The second time the UFC is in Vegas. Randy's fighting Barnett. And the sport is gaining some traction. And we went over to the event, I think me and Chris or whoever I was with, and I noticed Randy was giving an interview. This is about 5 o'clock. This is about 3 hours before his fight. Giving an interview on ESPN radio or whatever right over there at the venue. And I didn't like that. I was like, oh, man, you know, why isn't he in his dressing room? And, you know, Randy wins the first two rounds and then he gets stopped. And I always thought that was his first time dealing with that media. Well, if you look at the just incredible amount of media that Connor brings to the table, and you've been on both sides of this, you know, you've been the guy bringing the circus, and then you've been part of the circus as well. So I see Connor actually getting built up by that, and I do see it breaking down other people.
Sure. No, I hear what you're saying. A guy's got to be able to deal with that. You know, coaches forever, there's so much misinformation put out. You know, you have to understand, coaches are used to training a team. So you have to have a one-size-fits-all. You have to. From the time kids are playing Little League to high school to college to professional, it's a team. So you need your best philosophies for the team, but none of it is necessarily true. I can remember coaches my entire life, and for a long time I believed it, where they would say, if you want to be a national champion, and then they would lay out what you had to do. And it was the hard work, and you couldn't do this, and you had to do this in your social life, and you had to be to bed on this time, and you had to, and it was very structured. And I believed it for a while. And then when I became an adult, I realized, no, if you want to be a national champion, you need to get to the national tournament and have more points than the next guy. That's all you got to do. If you want to be a Super Bowl champion, you don't have to go through all that stuff that they tell you from the time you're 9 years old. You need to get onto an NFL team and then have more points than the other guys. That's all you have to do. And so guys can go about that differently. And some coaches will tell you, you've got to focus. You have got to focus. And then as I became older, I realized that's a bunch of crap. Some guys go through what's called paralysis by analysis, where they sit there and they focus on something so much they freeze and they lock up. And other guys can be loose and cool, and they have their own process. So you will see some guys that will pull a guy and go, hey, listen, he was doing these interviews and that's why he lost. Well, there's some guys, that's what they need to do. Some guys don't want to think about that opponent or that event in the least. And then you've got some other guys that's all they can zero in on. But as far as the one size fits all BS that coaches have been putting out for years to sell books and sound good, it's just not true. You know, I had coaches. I'll give you another fine example that will talk about desire. I just sat on this with a coach who I really respect, so I'm going to leave his name out of it, but he's talking about desire. You have to have desire. You can't do anything if you don't have desire. And I'm sitting there and I want to go, coach, you got to stop with all that because you're going to touch two kids in this whole room. Two kids have desire. The other 28 kids can get it done on discipline. If you have desire, it sure makes life easy. Boy, I want to go out and do that. Well, what a great motivational tool. But the rest of the kids don't have that, and they can't control it. So what can they do? They can be to the car on time. They can be in practice on time. They can put in the extras. They can live a life of discipline when they don't have the desire. So no, you don't. Not only do you not have to have desire, you can't control whether or not you have desire. Now, I'm going in a different direction, but the point that I'm attempting to make is, for Connor, you can't just sit back and go, well, he's going to have all these pressures and he's traveling. Maybe that's what makes him tick.
I wasn't thinking of it upon Connor. I think Connor feeds off of that. I'm talking clearly about his opponent. Now, I think you're talking about something that you've lived through, which is, you know, coming up from the curtain jerker to the you know, the biggest star in the sport. Because I remember before you were a superstar, you had to fight Dan Miller. And you had to lose a ton of weight, man. A ton of weight. I want to say 35 pounds in 14 days.
36.2 in 21 days.
All right. So it was a ton of weight. Now, this is before Chael's circus starts. And, you know, I'd go to all his fights, help him cut weight, chat with him the night before the fight, and then peace out until the fight was over. Well, this particular time, and the thing that people don't understand is people that have never competed before think that when their bro is fighting, that it's like an event. It's like a party, and it's not. It's actually something that we have to go get a job done and then enjoy it afterwards. So what happens is people come in and they want a part of Chael, or they want this or they want that. It happens every time. It happens to every fighter. Well, this was before that started happening. So there was just a few of us. And the one thing I know about competing is whether you are right or you are wrong, when it's the week of the fight, you are always right. Whatever you say is right. So it was the night before the Miller fight. And, you know, I go over and see Chael. He's, well, you know, we've already went out and eaten and had a good time. And he is actually, I can recall what he said. I don't want to share it, but he was out of his mind. He was absolutely out of his mind. And I knew as I was sitting there that I had to agree with him. I had to agree with him because that's where he was in his head and that's where he needed to be. And I remember walking down the hall after I left laughing that dude is Cracker Jacks. So, you know, you've went through it. Then you won that fight and you got on a roll. So I think you're speaking from experience.
I'm speaking from experience. Yeah, that a frame of mind, it can be unique to one. And we really were misled our entire lives because coaches, great coaches, and coaches do a great job. But it is a one-size-fits-all philosophy. They don't have time.
Do you remember how crazy you were?
I remember that night. I remember you telling me you thought I was crazy. You actually made a video about it later. I think you had your iPad or your iPod or something with you. And you went down to your car. You were at Valet. You got into the car and turned the camera on and made a video. I was like, man, that guy is out of his mind. But I really didn't think I was. I had this whole thing. I had it figured out for what I wanted to achieve, and I didn't know if I could beat Miller or not. And I remember I was a 2 or 3 to 1 underdog. He was getting ready to fight Anderson.
Sure.
And then I was just kind of in the way, and I was a last-minute replacement. But I remember understanding that and having how I wanted to proceed in the match from a mental standpoint. So I was just sharing that with you. And yeah, you thought it was absolutely insane, but I thought that I had a good focus and a good handle on it. So, yeah, some of those things can be weird. And I really don't want you to relive it either. I remember some of the stuff I told you. But at that point in time, that's where I needed to be.
I loved it. All right, so let's move on. Let's go up that card. Let's go up that card.
All right, well, here, let's work down. So we started with Connor.
All right.
I thought it was absolutely amazing. I really did think the way that he controlled the ring, that he made Eddie look like the smaller man, and that he can. It was the range is so important, and guys will make a big thing about range, but it's usually just talk. This was relevant because Eddie, one, wasn't able to hit him because he wasn't in the right range, but two, he could not get any wrestling offense off because Connor was just too far back. If Eddie would change elevation, Connor could just drop an arm down and move.
And he dropped him 25 seconds into the fight, yeah, or 30 seconds into the fight.
That or thing 11.
That thing was just a washout. There's, yeah. I mean,
a different ref could have stopped it right there.
Yeah, you can talk about he didn't do this and he didn't do that. Man, it was a washout. It was a beating. And obviously, I was rooting for the wrong guy.
All right, so go backwards. Who was the second?
Tyrone.
Oh, Tyron and Wonder Boy.
All right.
I didn't love the fight as much as some people did. I was into it. I don't need to see an immediate rematch. I didn't have to see that match. I'm glad it happened. I don't need to see an immediate rematch. I thought those judges were interesting. One gave, you know, the judges did not agree. There was 2 10-8 rounds in favor of Tyron. But are you up to speed that they weren't the same round? One had it in the fourth and one had it in the first. So their math was the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, their math was the same, but they didn't have it the same
round. I did not know that. What I did know was 47, 47, 47, 47, and 48, 47 is a majority draw.
Right.
The second he said it, I'm like, that's a majority. I said to Ladd, that's a majority draw. And it anybody that's ever gambled before knew that.
Sure.
I was rooting for Tyron. I bet on Tyron. So it's so hard to, and I'm a fan, it's so hard to be objective. But the one thing I wasn't objective about, the first round, Tyron goes out, he takes him down, and he controls everything. After he got the takedown. First he just has his back on the cage. Second round, he gets him pushed up to the cage. They're in the clinch, and he's kickboxing with the guy, and I'm like, Tyron, for God's sakes, drop down and put him on his back. And you can hear Duke Rufus in the corner saying, yeah, that's great, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, Tyron, whether you won or lost, I was rooting for you. I bet on you. But, man, let's get that takedown program back. I don't know how great, great, great wrestlers forget how to wrestle. You're a two-time Division I All-American. You can take down the Karate Kid.
So tell me this, though. I mean, they are going to run that one back. We're going to have to watch that fight again, correct?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're angling for the third belt program with
Connor?
Yeah. I mean, I know. I mean, Connor's the biggest fight anybody can
fight.
Well,
that would be of interest if he went after Tyron Woodley. Here's one of the problems they have to go back to Connor. So you've got Nurmagomedov, number one contender all day long, and you've got Tony Ferguson.
Big Ferg.
Who's a number one contender all day long. I mean, no one's going to get pissed whoever comes out of that thing. Here's the reality that those guys don't know yet, but they're going to have to face. Neither one of them's getting that shot. Neither one of them's next fight is going to be Conor McGregor. They're going to end up fighting one another to kick the can down the road because they've got a time issue here. Conor's going to take his oars out of the water for a while. He's got the kid coming up. He's going to do everything he can for the Mayweather fight, whether that comes to fruition. But the bottom line is neither one of those guys can go top of the bill right now with Conor. And they're not going to be given that opportunity. Those guys are going to be forced to face one another. And then the question is, will the winner get a fight Conor? I think we can all agree Conor's not going back to 45. That belt's going to go away. Not to say he won't go up to 70. You know, he's angling for a Nate Diaz rubber match. Nate's been on.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things you can do with Conor. And then to your point, possibly a Tyron Woodley. I don't know that I buy that one, but sure. That's more likely than Ferg or Khabib stepping in there with him right now. Sadly. Sadly, but that is the reality.
It is what it is, man. That guy brings a lot. He wants ownership. He wants ownership. He forgot how this thing, you know, he came in on the 14th floor.
Sure.
So if you're going to give Conor ownership, you got to give Randy and Tito and Matt Hughes and Chuck Liddell. You got to give the guys that were on the first floor ownership. Conor.
I don't know if I agree with that. Connor's not getting ownership, but I'm just on your philosophy as a whole. No, it's not what did you do for me yesterday. It's what can you do for me today. But he's got a contract. Connor's not getting ownership.
All right.
He's just asking for it. But the bottom, okay, so who else do we got? We got the girl. Let's pass right over them. What else happened? Oh, Yoel Romero and Weidman. What'd you make of that?
Again, man, when you're rooting for a guy, you know, I thought Chris looked great in the first round. And I thought that pace was a heavy, heavy pace that he was putting on in the first round. And he kind of slowed it up. I think he lost the second round, and then he got caught. He got knocked out with a head kick, a kneed. It was brutal. So, I mean, what I took from it, man, I don't know. That Yoel Romero is a lot to deal with, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure that pace Bisping can put on somebody isn't the pace to beat him.
Sure.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, Romero is a tough one. He's a really tough one to know what you're getting because he will always let you have your moments. He won't come out and overwhelm you even if he can. And I can't explain the psychology behind. I can just tell you this is what it is. I knew him since he was about 19 or 20. You'll remember when he was the Cuban Olympian and world team member. He had that big big beef
now,
with
is
Les
he the one that is he the one that got the goat?
No, no. The pig. No, that's a squee. But Romero had the big beef with Oregon's own, with Les Gutchess, right? So I followed his career. I watched him with the Cale Sanders all the way back. I'm going way back, but the point is this. Yoel Romero had a philosophy in wrestling, and the philosophy was only score when you have to. And in America, we teach our athletes to score as many points as you possibly can in the time given. You go and go and go. You never quit scoring. In Cuba, where he's from, he had a score. You only score when you have to. So Yoel Romero, the best wrestler in the world, he won the world championship, second in the Olympic Games. He would go on the mat with a novice wrestler, and 3 minutes into the competition, it'd be 0-0. And 4 minutes into the competition, it'd be 1-0 the other guy. And then 5 minutes into a six-minute match, Yoel would go out and grab his points and go home. But he never would score unless he had to. Or if he had, I'll give you another example. If he had a one-point lead, he would not do anything to make that a two-point lead. He would ride out the clock. And again, that could be in the Olympic finals, or that could be with an absolute novice that didn't belong out there. But he would only score when he has to. Well, he fights the same way. And if you go back and follow his career, he let Jacare have a round. Let him have it. And then realize time's running out. I've got to go get my rounds. He fought my teammate, Ronnie Marks. Ronnie beat him for 12 minutes of the contest. They're in the third round. Time's winding down. Yoel goes on one sprint, gets a TKO. Did this with Tim Kennedy. Lets him go back and forth, realizes where the he only scores when he has to. Even in that first round with Weidman, he could have done some stuff to steal the round, but in his mind, and it's taken him all the way, he's about to be, he is the number one contender. He's probably going to be the world champion. He's gone all this way with this philosophy, and he will not change it. So as I'm watching that fight, and I'm thinking, boy, Weidman's doing a great job. He's getting to that single leg. He's controlling some of the striking. Yoel is getting tired. But the son of a bitch only scores when he has to. So he knows what the score is. He knows I'm losing this round. He knows it's time, and then boom. And that's the problem with fighting him, is he's always got another gear, and he did it as a wrestler as well. You'd watch that guy in a tournament and go, I can beat him. I pinned the guy that he just was in overtime with. Well, he only scores when he has to. And I don't know where this philosophy comes from, but he's had it his whole life. It's taken him to world and Olympic medals, and now it's taken him to the UFC finals.
Wow. And then we have Frankie Stevens.
Yep.
I'm missing one. Oh, Misha Pennington.
Yeah, Frankie and Stevens was actually an undercard, wasn't it? Did they make main card?
Yeah, it was the final
undercard
fight.
The main event of the unders. The Misha fight, I don't accept Misha's resignation.
I do.
I can tell you as a fan, I don't, but I do think that she needs some time. A lot of times, you know, it's kind of like the basic rule in biology. Anything that's red hot can only cool off. Well, she was just red hot. She was the main event world champion of the biggest UFC of all time, UFC 200. That was in July of this year. You're going to tell me a girl goes from the world championship headlining the biggest card of all time to out of the business in 4 months? I don't accept that. But I do accept that she might need to regroup and take a break.
Man,
this
see
is
those,
her call, not mine, of
I
course,
see,
but I don't agree.
I see those girls catching up real, real fast. I like it. I hate to. I mean, she's been in a lot of wars. I've been a fan of hers since she was, you know, the Strike Force champion. So, on my end of it, I don't want to see her get beat up anymore. On my end of it, so I support it. You know, I mean, there's only so many women at the top of the food chain. She's, you know, she's one of them. But I support it. And then the last fight to talk about. Where I was wrong, I thought that Frankie Edgar could have a letdown, and no matter what, he didn't. Man, Frankie is amazing.
Yeah, he's a killer. And you know, Stevens Franklin didn't fight that bad. You know, he had some power, some good defense of the takedowns early. Frankie was just relentless, and he was throwing some heat at him. Frankie did not want to get in the way of some of those punches, which I thought was a good sign of respect. But yeah, ultimately. ultimately, Frankie got him, and I thought it was a lot of experience, largely. You know, he knew when to push. He knew when to shoot, reshoot. Look, Frankie got it done. Hey, I'll tell you guys, with the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. You got traffic. You got parking. If you're out in Oregon, you got the rain to deal with. Look, it's going to be packed with everybody mailing holiday gifts and packages. So do what I do. Use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your computer and your printer. Print postage on any letter or package. And instantly, you can do it instantly, guys. The mailman will come and pick it up. It's so easy. It's so convenient. I use Stamps.com to send every one of our guests on this show a gift package from other ones of our sponsors. But we do it right here. And you should too. Right now, sign up with Stamps.com. Use my name, Chael, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Chael. That's stamps.com and enter Chael for a savings. Joel. So
let's talk about the bear.
All I want to do.
That's all I mean, as big as the card was, I just. So you talked about the bear last week, but you didn't go into detail about Brian being scurred.
Yeah. Well, OK, so here, let's start at the beginning. So. Bear, for people that didn't listen last week, there is a restaurant. It is beyond excellent. Whatever a great restaurant is, this is even better. It's called Bear's Barbecue. Very small. I think there's two of them is all there is, and they're in Hartford, Connecticut. So this is something listeners are just going to have to trust me because most are never going to get a try. But this guy's got it figured out. Well, Bear used to be a competitive eater, and he's got challenges that he uses largely for marketing. Hey, you want to take on the bear? Put up this much money, and if you can beat me, I'll give you 5 times the amount. He's got one deal. I'll give you 10 times the amount. Well, we love to go into Bears. So we always get together with a group. We go into Bears.
You and Brian.
Me and Brian. A bunch of other guys. But, yeah, Brian is the one that spearheaded this and found it and kind of got us all on this kick about a year ago. So I never go to Connecticut where we don't get together and go out to Bears. Well, Bear was in there. Bear was in there, and so Brian says, hey, that's Bear, that's the guy. So I go and talk to him, and, well, my buddy Brian can eat a lot. Now, he's not a competitive eater. He's just a dude that can eat a lot, but, you know, when you get together with the guys or you're eating chicken wings and you're all counting, he's always wins.
He's the guy that everybody has a Brian in their right. life. He's the guy that can eat the most food.
He's the guy that can
Evan
eat
Tanner.
The most. Sure, but does that make him a competitor? No, of course not. Look, Brian's not going to beat the bear. Okay, we're not crazy. This is for fun. However, Brian is a competitor. Okay, he's a baseball guy. He's a coach. If you're going to keep score, he's showing up. Well, the bear, okay, I'm the same way. I can't go eat a whole bunch of food. But if you're going to keep score, I'm going to do everything I can to win. Well, the bear, when we explained to him that Brian wanted to take him on, the bear goes, well, no normal guy could beat me. In fact, I'd let you bring in a partner, anyone you want. So Brian wants to bring in Big Country Roy Nelson.
Well, hold on. Okay. Now, you said Bear comes over to the table, and Brian's eyes hit the floor.
All of a sudden, you know, I let Bear know, hey, this guy wants to take you on, and we all want to see it happen. And, yeah, I thought that Brian got a little quiet.
He got scared.
I thought that Brian would be like, yeah, I want to take you on. I want to do the beef brisket, and let me know. Let me know when to start. And so at any rate, Bear was super cool. Okay, none of this was, but it's still a challenge.
But he challenged you.
It doesn't
he
matter
said,
how nice he was.
He said, I'll take on both
two,
of you.
Two of you.
Did he say both of you or two of you?
He said two. You could even bring a partner. So Brian's like, okay, I want Roy Nelson. He's joking around, right? Roy's nowhere in sight, but he's joking around. It's like, no, Brian, this isn't a joke, man. The bear just challenged us. It's you and I. I'm now your partner if you will have me. And let's pick out the item we're going to take on the bear.
Because people don't know, Chael is a damn good eater. I mean, I remember the first time eating with you was a 12-egg omelet out at Mama's.
Yep.
And you know, I eat incredibly fast, and I smashed it, and I looked up, and yours was either gone or almost gone. So you can eat a ton of food. Now, has he not had the opportunity to watch you do some good work that he just, you know, he didn't know you would be any help to him?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I got dismissed a little bit, and but here's the bottom line. I don't know competitive eating, but it doesn't matter. There's two of us. There's a set time limit, and we're coming after the bear. Now, here, I have to give you an update. So as soon as we realized this was going to happen, we're like, hey, this is actually something pretty cool. So let's do this. You come out, bring Lad, fly into Connecticut. We're going to stick podcast one with the bill. We're going to bring out recording equipment, and we're going to make a show out of this thing.
We're going to go on location with Your Welcome and Chael Sonnen at the Bears Barbecue December 9th.
December 9th, 8 p.m. Now, I have to bring you up to speed on something, okay, because this is what we told the listeners last week. So Brian, okay, who was a little bit sheepish when the bear was there, has made a turn. Brian is now all the way in. He is reading things to become a better competitive eater.
We need a nickname for him.
Yeah, he realizes this is up next month, and he is going to come to try to win. And there's two of us. And if this son of a bitch can out-eat the two of us, then he, whatever. But we're going to find out. I don't think he can.
Bear said was that he could eat, he's not competitive right now, but he said he could still eat 5 pounds of food.
Five to six. But see, now you got to understand, this is a pool shark. This could have been a hustler's move to set our expectation that if we can both do, you know, a combined 5 to 6, that we have a shot. We didn't know if he was hustling us or not, but it doesn't matter. It worked.
Now, have you guys decided on what you're going to...
Yes.
Eat.
Yeah, pulled brisket. Pulled pork.
Okay,
thank you.
So it is pulled pork. So the first time we do a live on location is going to be Bear's Barbecue.
Yeah.
December 9th.
Okay, so now here's where I need to update you. So we decided that we're going to go out there, we're going to make this a podcast. Gribbs is going to come, you're going to come out. And we're going to stick podcast with the bill. Fine. Right? Fine. Let's see if this... I think there's something here. I think this is interesting, and Brian and I are going to document us trying to bring down the bear in his own house. Well, the bear's puffed up as much as we did. Okay? He's being a cool guy, but this is competition. He's been called out.
Well, it's his hometown, too,
it's
bro.
His hometown.
It's hometown.
So there's something here. We'll see what this can turn into, but there's something here. Now, I have to bring you up to speed on something. I'm not positive the 9th is going to work out. Now, I'm going to find out in the next 2 days. I'll find out in the next 2 days. We'll update the listeners. If the 9th doesn't work out, then it's the exact same plan. We just do it on December 30th when Ronda Rousey fights Amanda Nunes. So I got to get that date right just in case anybody wants to come and watch us try to take down the bear. So we'll have plenty of time of that. It's just
so we'll know before
the week.
Friday's show.
We will know by Friday's show.
Okay. So you versus the bear. Now... You've been gone a while. You went to Glover's for a minute. I've got a funny take on the Glover.
All right, let's hear.
So you go to Glover's gym.
Uh-huh.
And I'm asking you about it. And then I'm gonna throw some marbles at you.
Or what do you want me to do? Just tell you?
Yeah, yeah. Talk about. I mean, you went. So the reason that you stayed out there for 11 days, and this is, did you make the right call or should you have came home?
I made the right call.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some great training. It was really good. Here was the timeline I was up against. I had to go to Connecticut. Connecticut's not easy to get to. Okay, it's really tough to get to. There's no direct flights or anything like that from Portland, so it's pretty long and tough to get there. Then once you land, again, you got to commute all over the state to get to where you're going. So I went out for Bellator to the Mohegan Sun. They had a great event. And then time-wise, I was supposed to come home and 2 days later fly back out to Connecticut to work with ESPN for the UFC 205 cover. So I said, well, here, I'm just going to get a hotel and stay instead of burning a couple of days travel. So that's where Glover came in. So I looked up Glover, said, hey, I'm in town. Can I come train today? He was great. He said, absolutely. Here's the times. Here's the address. That was the end of it. And, you know, he just had a bunch of great guys, and I'm talking about nice guys. When you go spar somewhere, you have to be with people you can trust, because there's always a dick in every group, where the guy comes in or he goes too hard or you can't trust him. Glover didn't have any of those guys, man. He had guys that were in great shape, that worked hard, that were skilled, that you could trust.
How about the tomatoes?
What does that mean?
You called the 2010s tomatoes on your podcast last week.
What's it called? A tomata or a tabata?
I'm not sure. I've been calling them 2010s forever, but
yeah, who cares? I had people correcting me, going, "Well, it's called a tabata." Who cares? I don't give a damn. Who cares? It's 20 seconds on and 10 off. It's not like the guy that thought of that deserves some kind of lifelong recognition. Oh, go hard for 20 and then rest for 10. Well, I had people literally reaching out to me, Joel, to correct me that it's called a tabata or it's called a tomata. It's called one of those. Who cares? It's a 2010.
It's a 2010, and we've been doing them for 11, 12, 13
years.
Yeah,
like the guy that came up with it, created the cure for cancer, and deserves to have his name remembered. It's 20 seconds on with a 10-second rest.
All right, good.
I mean,
I was gonna knock you around a little bit for that because I love 2010s. I love 2010s. They're great. Now, I've been doing them forever. And in my cycle spin class, they've started doing them, and I'm like, okay, so this training's been going on forever, and now people are starting to catch up to it. Yeah, it's just 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off.
Yeah, hey, Jacob, we've got a surprise here. One of my coaches, Jamie Huey, is available. He wanted to talk. I texted him back. I said, I'm recording, so why don't you just call in and we'll do it right here. So let's connect to the one and only Jamie Huey. What's going on, pal?
What's happening, brother? How are you?
Hey, nothing, man. I'm happy to catch up. So start with this. Geographically, where are you at? You're out in Vegas?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right. You're at the Extreme Couture gym.
Yes, sir. Randy's gym.
And how is that all going out there? You know, I'm sure you watched the fights over the weekend. Misha Tate surprisingly retired. What do you think of that? Does she mean it?
You know, I don't know. I mean, unless she was already planning that, you know, in a defeat situation, then yes. Otherwise, you know, people are emotional after fights sometimes. So, I mean, that could have been a factor in it as well. I haven't talked to her. I didn't see her in the gym yesterday. So, sure, when I do, you know, everybody will throw an arm around her and support whichever direction she decides to go in. I mean, she had a hell of a career.
Oh, she had an amazing career. You know, and she is one of those lucky ones that she can leave anytime. You know, once you win the world championship, you can leave anytime you want. You don't owe anybody, including yourself. You don't even owe yourself anything more. You win the world championship, man. It's done. But, Jamie, I'll make this point to you as a fan, which is simply the timeline's relevant to me. She was the queen of women's MMA in July of this year. She was the world champion headlining the biggest card of all time, which was UFC 200. I just don't think that 4 months later, not only can she no longer be headlining, no longer be world champion, but she's out of the business completely. I don't know that I accept that. I think that maybe a break is in order. Would you agree that historically, most people that get in this spot, they just put the brakes on for a little bit more than call it? Is that fair?
That could be it. I mean, she might just decide to kind of take a breather for a little while, regroup, rethink things. And, you know, I mean, she won't be out of MMA, obviously. I mean, obviously, she's dating Brian. And the great thing about Brian and Misha, they're very involved in the gym as far as all the amateurs that are coming up. They open their doors to other fighters to stay with them. You know, they've been smart with their money. They've bought in several houses that they'll rent out, and so, you know, in whatever direction she decides to go or not go, I mean, I'm sure she's still going to be involved, obviously, with Brian's career and also helping up everybody else in the gym. So they're great, man. They're really good people to have in the gym.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to see. I'll be interested. And I want to support her. I certainly don't want to be on the side of pushing her into doing something she doesn't want to do. I'm looking at it and going, look, you were the world champion 4 months ago. You know, I'm not sure a nice long vacation and maybe think about it. But we'll see how that goes. I know how retirement goes. Sometimes it's hard to stay there.
It's amazing how fast things change, isn't it?
Hey, Jamie, this is Joel. I'm with Chill. What's up, brother?
Hey, brother. How are you, man?
I'm good. Hey, I got a couple questions for you out there.
Yeah.
Now, I've been going out there since forever. And Dennis Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, I believe, is the longest tenured coach at that gym, and yeah. he's great. Now, where does Dennis fit in the hierarchy of the chain of command?
Dennis is the head coach of Extreme Couture.
Okay, cool. So he is the man. Perfect. I love that.
Yeah,
Dennis
is the man. And I'll tell you something about Dennis. Is I've been in this game for a while, both boxing and MMA, and I've cornered with some of the best coaches in the sport, and I've coached against some of the best coaches in the sport. And Dennis Davis is pretty much the secret that nobody really knows about unless you know about. You know what I mean? He's kind of a low profile guy, but I've seen this guy do stuff in the dressing room before a fight. And they go out there, and it happens exactly how he just walked the fighter through it. I mean, he's going to put you on the cage, and when he does, I want you to do this. And I mean, I've watched him literally walk a fighter through the fight before the bell even rang. He's an amazing coach.
He was an amazing fighter too. Now he was the FCFF's first star. Now Chael's got the longest running promotion other than the UFC, I believe, in the world, called the FCFF in downtown Portland. And if I recall correct, wasn't Dennis the first star?
Yeah, Dennis was the first big star, and he was the first guy that got it. You know, he was a very handsome guy. He was young. He was right on that Team Quest cusp. But then he got into the nickname and realized he became the Piranha, and he got the tattoo, and he just kind of lived the gimmick. And above everything, he went so hard. You know, Dennis would just crack guys because they just couldn't keep up with him. I watched him beat some guys that I thought athletically were superior to him, but they weren't as tough.
Yeah, I liked it that he, when Big Brother went to Vegas, he went too. So I'm glad that, tell Dennis that I said hey, and I'm glad that he's the head coach out there.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. He, kind of ironic, we all had babies around the same time. You know, I had my son, Till had his, John Wood had his, Dennis had his, Coach Eric Nixick just had his. There was all these guys that were kind of in our later 30s.
There's a bracket.
Early 40s. We all had boys just to write about the same time. So maybe at some point we'll get all these knuckleheads together.
Yeah, that's a bracket right there, Jamie. That's a bracket.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, let me ask you something. How is your fantasy football season going? What's that you say? Your starting running back has already pulled both hamstrings and your sleeper pick is sleeping? Well, it's not too late to save your season and win huge cash prizes at DraftKings.com. DraftKings is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. That means there's no season-long commitments from bust to bench warmers. Never again will injuries have you combing the waiver wire at 2 a.m. Every week is a brand new season at DraftKings. Just pick your contest, draft your teams, and follow the action live. Renew old rivalries with friends. Play them every week or try the 50-50 contest where the top half of all entries win cash. Even if your current fantasy team is circling the drain, you can still win huge cash prizes at DraftKings. Don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com right now. Use the code CHAEL to play for free with your first deposit. That's code CHAEL to play for free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. All right, here it is, guys. Go in your search engine right now. Do it right now. Type in TrueCar. This is totally free. Never going to cost you money today. No fine print. Never going to cost you money in the future. But someday you are going to be looking for a new car. And when I say new car, this can be brand new. This can be new to you. Used car. Listen, here's how it works. Go in, build the car you want virtually. Type it in. Year, make, model, color, anything you want on the car. Type in your zip code and it will tell you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. You take that down to any True Car certified dealership. They honor the price. That's it. The average True Car user has saved an average of $3,279 off of the MSRP. Who does not want to save money? And I'll tell you, the thing I like about this, guys, is it just saves you time. I love that you're saving money, but it's the time. Who wants to spend a weekend down at a car lot all day? Sometimes you got to go back. Get your weekends back. Get your times back. Bring transparency back to the car buying world. Know what you're getting before you show up with the professionals. It's as simple as that. Save time, save money, True Car. Hey, so who's the up-and-comers? Who are you working with out there that I love to know some names before everybody else does? Who should I be keeping my eye on?
You know, right now I've got four guys I'm working on, working with. I've got an announcement I would love to make, but I can't, unfortunately, until we have the contract in our hand. Yeah, Keith Berry, he's one of my guys. As soon as I can spill the beans on that one, I will.
Gotcha.
I've been working with a guy, Julian Marquez. Julian actually works out of Syndicate, but he comes over to Couture to work with me. He just fought on the Combate card over there in New York, and he knocked out Matt Hamill in the first round.
Wow.
That was Julius's fifth pro fight. He was actually one of Zach Cummings' training partners. That's kind of how me and Julian kind of linked up, was through Zach. So he's doing big things out there. I'm working with a guy named Marcellus Brown. He's a heavyweight. It's kind of a funny story. I get a call. They need a guy to hold mitts for, this is a boxing guy. They need somebody to hold mitts for a guy named Marcellus Brown. So I'm like, well, you know, that's cool. I'd love to be back into the boxing environment. So I go sign up for it. And the first question they asked me is how tall I am. And I said, well, I don't know, 5'11". Okay. He says, oh, you're taller than the last guy. All right. Okay, no problem, whatever that was about. So I go to look him up, come to find out this guy's 7 foot tall, 305 pounds.
Wow.
And he is every bit as bad as he looks. We just won the WBU World Boxing Heavyweight title a couple months ago. We're on I believe a 4 or 5 fight win streak with him.
Congrats.
So hopefully, thank you, man. Yeah, hopefully we're gonna get some bigger fights this year. He just beat a couple tough guys. Then I think the last guy I've got on my team right now is a guy named Bryce Harley, 115-pound amateur. Great kid, great work ethic, one of my favorite guys to be around. But, you know, he's 115 pounds, man. It is so hard to find that guy fights. The Tough Enough has been great. They'll fly guys out from – we fought a guy from Des Moines, Iowa recently. They flew him out. We had a guy come out from we lost a tough fight to a tough kid from Denver, I believe. He was out. They flew him out. So, I mean, just finding fights for him has been the challenge. But hopefully, you know, we can get some more things lined up for him, get him some more experience this year.
Well, good. I mean, it sounds like you got everything under control out there. I mean, four guys, you've only got so many hours in the day. So it sounds like you got a good start going. Let me ask you this. Randy Couture. Does he still practice? Does he still come in and suit down and jump in with the guys?
You know, he does. He'll run practice. And the thing about Randy, he's in there in the mornings doing strength and conditioning with some of the coaches. Coach Gill down there puts him through a workout. I tell you, Randy's one of those guys, man. He looked like he could probably walk right back into the UFC right this minute and compete with some of these guys. He's kind of an anomaly like Dan Henderson. These guys just don't age for some reason.
Yeah, and see, that's where I'm going with this. And I know it's speculation, but speculation's fun. Randy was even out at the Unbreakable gym in Los Angeles with Bamba. And he was in there sparring and getting rounds. And Bamba said, man, he's just as tough. He clinches. He's strong. He's in shape. He said, this guy could walk right back in and do it. But every time I talk to Randy, he goes, well, you know, I have no interest and my neck hurts and I couldn't do it because of my neck. And I always accept that. I still accept that, except I have been confused where I'm going, Randy, you're in there doing it when practice every day. If you could do it in practice, you could do it in the ring. Now, again, he's one of those guys. He never has to do it again. I've just always wondered, is he gonna? And he's one of those guys because, to your point, he's still in shape and he's still in there practicing all the time. Got to be doing that for something. It's got to be more than just staying in shape, no?
Well, you know, what's interesting about this sport, man, and the longer I do it, the more I realize it. At some point, it becomes more about how you think and less how you fight. And I think Connor is kind of one of those guys. He kind of proved it this weekend. I mean, yes, he has a hell of a skill set, but there isn't you told me a story one time about Dan Henderson where he might go up to Team Quest back in the day and he'd have a rough practice and he might get knocked around by some of the, a room full of gamers in there. And you told me he'd walk out the front door like he was still the baddest motherfucker in the world, you know?
Always.
And that self-confidence that guys like Randy, like Dan, that Connor, it's hard to beat. I mean, you know, Dennis Davis was an example you gave earlier. He's that guy as well. You can beat these guys as long as you want, but they're just going to keep coming forward. And at some point, you kind of get tired and you break down because there's nothing you can do. And, you know, it's amazing to watch guys like that. Randy's such a genuine guy, too, man. He really takes care of his team down there. So it's an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's good to hear, man. I'm glad everything's going well. You ever see Clayton? Did Clayton pop in there?
All the time. Yeah, I saw him the other day. Him and Uriah were in the gym, and Uriah took me in his Dodge Challenger and almost killed me in that thing, man. He's insane.
I don't even know if he has a driver's license. I know he has a Dodge Charger, but I'm not sure he has a license to drive that thing.
He did. He finally got one.
All right, good.
Clayton was on his case until, you know. You know how Clayton is, man. Clayton's hardcore with it. He was just going to keep beating on Uriah until he finally broke down and got it. But, you know, funny story. So you told a story a couple podcasts ago how there was a guy in the training room. I guess he'd have trouble when he'd get on his back. He would get stuck there, and his dad would come along with a cattle prod and shoot him with this thing, right?
Kerry Colot, yep.
So I remember how kind of frustrated you were with that whole situation. It kind of got me thinking, and most people that know you're not much of a morning guy. And Clayton's big thing was running the hill, Twilliger Hill, every Sunday at 7-8 o'clock in the morning. So I remember a particular situation where you show up and your hair's kind of flattened to one side, you've got sweatpants on, and you've got on a pair of, I don't know, Kohans, is that what they are? The slip-on dress shoes?
Yeah, I remember they were ostrich. I don't know who made them, but they were some nice. They were some nice loafers.
They were nice slip-on loafers, and I remember watching you hit Mitch out there, and I'm kind of looking. I'm like, well, I know he's not going to run in those things, and I remember Clayton looking down and saying, "Hey, you going to put on your shoes?" And you just kind of looked at him and you said, "Coach, these are the only ones I brought. I forgot. I left the other ones in the house." Clayton, not thinking about it, went right back into the mitt drill. And you ran that freaking hill 2.5 miles uphill, 2.5 miles downhill, and to the point where I even forgot you were wearing them. At some point, I looked down. I go, "Whoa, are your feet okay, champ?" And you go, you just looked at me and you go, "Yeah, I'm not going to lie, they burned pretty good." And that was it. And that was the only thing. You never complained. You never said anything about it. And Clayton, you made you run that hill and those loafers. And I got to thinking, you know, if I had to choose between a cattle prod and running that hill and those loafers, I'm not an expert in either, but I might have to take the cattle prod.
It'd be quicker. It'd be a quicker punishment. Yeah, you know, the loafers was a bad move, but when it's time to practice and you walk out the... I mean, that's it. If that's the only shoes you got, I mean, you could go barefoot, I guess, but yeah, Clayton's not going to let you off the hook. You're going to have to get up that hill either way.
No, that was...
I hate that hill. Hey, you want me to tell you some great news? You know, that hill... It leads the way up to OHSU, the hospital. So I was going up to OHSU. I drove past the track. It is completely shut down. It is 100% fenced off to where you'd be trespassing if you touched it. And they have uprooted the entire track. There is not one piece of track down. Now, I think that they're just replacing it and it will reopen. But I can tell you this much. It was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen that they closed that damn track down. God, I was happy.
You're not thinking in your head that that's going to somehow cancel the run when Clayton gets here.
Clayton gets here in 18 days. And yes, I don't know where we're going to run.
I guarantee you, I know where you'll run up that damn hill.
We just wanted to do the track.
I don't know where you're going
to
start at.
Yeah.
But you'll run up that hill.
He's right.
That deconstruction of the track, that has nothing to do with the protesters down there, is it?
No, can you, Jamie, they protested in Portland. They destroyed Portland. Portland voted the way they wanted it to vote. Multnomah County couldn't be any bluer. Everybody they hurt and harmed and protested against did what it is they allegedly wanted. It was the craziest protest ever on principle.
It makes no sense. I saw a video yesterday, and they were out there trying to shut down one of the freeways, And there's cars on the far left lane because they've got like three or four to the right shut down. And so there's a car and he's, you know, he's going 40. He's probably going 50, 60 miles an hour. There's, you know, 40, 50 people in the street. A girl steps out, ends up getting clipped by this car, spins around about three times, right? Nobody wants to see that. I mean, it's tragic. It's somebody's daughter, somebody's kid, somebody's friend, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you think the first thing they do? They call the cops and they call an ambulance, right? So they're out here blocking the freeway. Potentially there's cops and ambulances that need to respond to other situations where people around the city are, you know, going through different things, and these guys are out here blocking the street, but yet as soon as one of those protesters get hit, the first thing they do is they call the cops and the ambulance. It didn't make any sense to
them. Right. No, it's just a mess. And then again, they're protesting against their own people. I mean, it's a very blue place. They wanted Hillary to win. I get the protesters about, but the city voted for Hillary overwhelmingly. She overwhelmingly was. So they're literally turning on one another. You just scratch your head sometimes and go, man, I don't know what's. Shouldn't you guys have jobs? Don't you have to be somewhere? How is it Absolutely. You're all confused? I mean, that's you're just thinking that. You just go, man, I bunch of knuckleheads.
It's like the crowd not leaving after a game. Like they stay. Like the game's over and the crowd, a quarter of the crowd stays and they won't accept the result. It's like, guys, you know, go home. It's over.
Yeah. I'm all for people having the right to protest, but the second you break something, you violate somebody else's rights, you're not protesting. Now you're just an asshole.
Yeah, now you're just being a jerk. Now you're committing a crime. That's exactly right. Yeah, the right to gather, the right to protest and assemble, all great things, and we all understand that. But going out and destroying people's property and hurting one another, it just doesn't make any kind of sense.
And I would be fascinated to hear what the percentage of people down there didn't even vote, but just showed up so they have a reason to act crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, guaranteed. You could take one look at them and go, guys, you don't even know what we're fighting about here. You don't have the foggiest idea. This is just a good time. You know, you're wandering around the streets in some form of a riot. It looked like they were just having some fun.
Yeah, I don't, there's some things I miss about Portland, but that's definitely not one of them.
I hear you. All right, Coach, you got anything else you want to get off your chest?
No, we're good, brother.
Cool.
It's always good catching up with you.
Yeah, let's catch up again. I'll tell you more about the track. Hopefully they continue to uproot that thing.
Let me plug something real quick, if you don't mind.
Let's hear it.
We're doing a Randy Couture GI benefit show this Saturday at the Las Vegas Convention Center. All the proceeds go to Wounded Warriors and veterans. So tickets are only $10. It's all volunteer. Nobody makes any money down there. We've got, I believe, 10 or 12 amateur MMA fights scheduled with kind of a mix of grappling, co-promoted by Tough Enough. So anybody in the Las Vegas area this weekend, if you're in town, man, this is definitely a show you want to catch. Then also shout out good luck to our team, Uriah Hall and Zach Cummings, fighting this week in Belfast.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, Zach, and you're right. Uriah's got to fight Musasi again. And yep. I don't know a whole lot about Zach's opponent, but I know Zach's looking great. I talked to Tyler all the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, his weight is doing okay. Not great, but Zach never likes to do great on weight. He's kind of like KG, man. He likes to cut it pretty close.
Yeah, it's sometimes a little too close.
Hey, what's gonna happen with KG there? I mean, can they run him back at welterweight, or do they have to push him up? I mean, what happens now?
I don't know, man. It seemed like Dana was pretty frustrated with the whole situation in an interview, and you know, Dana was emotional when he said it, obviously, but he said that he didn't see KG ever fighting at 170 again. Oh man, that breaks my heart because he's probably two fights away from fighting for a title. You know, I don't know what he's got. He's got to figure it out, man. I mean, we're all Team KG. I love KG to death. He's one of my favorite people. But it's just getting over that weight cut. Somehow he's got to get that thing dialed in.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. It's as simple as this, Coach. He needs to start today. We don't even know when
absolutely.
The next fight is or when the next weigh-in is. He needs to start today.
I imagine he's going to end up fighting at 85 at least a couple times until he can he can convince Dana of otherwise,
yeah.
is what it sounds like. I hope that's not the case, but that's kind of what what it's pointing to.
And I would just argue, just to make sure we keep all the chips on the table, look, if there's a problem, we got to solve it. We've got to address what it is. But he is not guaranteed to make it at 185. He has a little bit of Anthony Johnson in him where it really doesn't matter what the weight is. He's going to make it hard on himself. And, you know, he missed 185 before. Every time on the show, he never made it on the first try. Take the clothes off, bring the towel out, strip him down. It just is what it is. He just kind of had a different mentality when it came to weight cutting. And, so I'm not confident that just moving up a weight solves all of his problems. I think that it is a, you know, like you said, he needs to get a handle on it, whether we want to call it discipline or just starting earlier or not. But he needs to be focused on it right now.
He's 24. I mean, that's not an excuse. I know he's young, but I look at KG, and he's kind of like a young Randy Couture, young Dan Henderson. I mean, I see this guy potentially fighting in the UFC for at least maybe 10, maybe 15 more years. As far as he's come, as fast as he's come, there's definitely some more learning there, obviously. But, I'm rooting for him, man. I hope he puts it together. I hope he figures it out. Whatever changes he's got to make, he's got to do it quick, though.
Yeah. That's true. We'll be thinking of him, and let's see where it all goes. I'm not confident that the switching of the weight class solves the problem. I think it's just you just got to start a little bit earlier. It's as simple as that. That's actually really hard to do, easy for me to say, but that would solve the problem. We got to start right now. For whatever the weight class, we've got to start right now.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. People look at his height, and he kind of reminded me of Mike Pierce when I started working with Mike. Was you look at a guy like KG and you look at his height and everybody thinks, oh, man, this guy should be fighting at 55. But the reality is when you look at the size of his core, I mean, his back, I remember him standing next to Josh Simon before we fought him on The Ultimate Fighter. And I remember looking at Josh, and Josh was a big 85er, and looking at Kelvin, and Kelvin's back was just, I mean, it was 2.5 times the size of just about everybody else out there. And Mike Pierce was the same thing. So, you know, guys will look at the size and the height and they think, well, he should be a 55er. But the reality is you're talking about, I mean, Kelvin's just a big core kid. He's not super big arms, super big legs, but he's carrying a lot of body mass with him. He's very dense.
Yeah. No, I hear you there. Let's see what happens. I don't know. Let's just see what happens, because he's not safe at middleweight either, right? Tyler Minton would be a great guy for him. Look, if you're going to 185, we never get above 200 ever again.
Absolutely.
If we're staying at 170, we never get above 190 ever again. And let's just see where it goes. We need to get a hold of KG, try to get this figured out.
Yeah, I'd love to see him with Tyler. Tyler Minton, the melee way, that would be that would absolutely be a great avenue for him to take.
It would solve some problems. But, again, it comes back to discipline, and we'll see what he wants to do. All right, Coach, we've had it. Thank you for coming on, my man.
Anytime.
Appreciate you. We'll be in touch. All right, guys, Jamie Huey, there was always good to catch up with Jamie, and I was happy to tell him about that track because I hate that damn track. And if he told the truth, he hates that track too. It's just that Clayton says we're doing the tracks, and then we all got to do the track.
I love the track.
I hate it. Have you ever had to do it? Have you ever actually ran that hill?
Yeah.
You went up it? Okay.
Yeah, with a camera.
Okay.
With a camera.
I know you've been on it plenty of times, but I didn't know
ran
it.
I mean, I was
it.
Way, way, way behind, and I went way, way, way in front of you. But, yeah, I made it up there.
Joel, remind me to tell you about a little dust-up I got in over the weekend with Randy Moss. Remind me to tell you that.
The football player, Randy
Moss?
Yeah,
the football player. I'll tell you right now. It was very small. In fact, I may have already false advertised it for saying a dust-up, but I did bring it up to him.
Randy Moss, the I think he's either Hall of Fame football player or right there on the cusp. He played for Minnesota.
He was fantastic.
He played for New England.
We got who Randy Moss is. But here was the thing. So he was on ESPN on Sunday. Now, Gilbert and I have to go in on Sunday as well to give a recap from the day before. And the ESPN guys, they were kind of driving me nuts because there was major upsets in college football over the weekend.
2, 3, and 4 all lost.
Yeah, and, you know, see, they were just breaking down how big these upsets were, and they were going on and on. I just said, here was my dialogue, and I'm a little bit out of place.
Okay, now where are you?
We are backstage right behind this set where we both get our microphones on, and he had just gone, and then I go in for a piece, and when I come out, I'm done for a little bit, but then he tags right back in and goes in. And I just said, Randy, I said, one of you guys is going to have to tell the truth about what happened this weekend. And he looked at me and said, well, what do you mean? And I said, you guys are acting like these are big upsets. And instead of calling it what it is that these rankings are garbage. Clemson at number two is a joke for a plethora of reasons. I'm from the Northwest. Washington Huskies at number four. Why? Because they're beating the Ducks of Eugene and the Wildcats of Arizona. Do you realize how crappy the conference is and how there's so many flaws with that ranking system? You don't have Penn State up there. You don't have Ohio State up there, the defending champions. Well, Penn State had lost. Stop with all of that. The conference is completely different. You have Clemson. You guys accepted Clemson at number two. That's an embarrassment to the entire ranking system. Well, Clemson's undefeated. Yeah, well, so's DuVry University.
See, this is why.
So is Phoenix Online. I told him this. I said, well, so is Phoenix Online. Randy, your ranking system sucks. And what just got proved by Iowa and these, what just got proved is that your ranking system sucks. So go out there and say that. How could you ever allow yourself in a, Clemson. Number two? Come on, man.
I love this.
Come on. I came up when Tulane... Do you know who Tulane is? Tulane University used to always be ranked in the top 10 because they'd be undefeated back when they had the BCS polls. I don't know who Tulane is. I don't know where they are. I just know they were... Baylor. Baylor would go rig a schedule. I mean, just absolutely stack the Baylor and Tulane used to be argued about for bowl games in contention because they were undefeated. And the way the BCS used to work, that really mattered. And I'm looking at going, you guys are going to put Penn State down here because Penn State lost a game to Ohio. Come on, man. You guys don't know what you're doing. There's some conferences that are really, really tough, and that has to matter. Your ranking system has Clemson at number two. Man, there's a lot of problems with that, and you guys need to find the balls to walk on to Studio A and say it to the world.
Okay, and so, I love this. I love you being fired up about anything that is sports-related. Wow, good job.
Yeah, and I think it comes from an angry part, but I made this case to Randy. Now, if I put my argument forward and Randy Moss puts his forward in football, Randy Moss wins. Period. I would never disrespect a guy that did like that. But I do make a fair point that is, listen, these upsets aren't as big as you guys are making believe they are. Those rankings are garbage. Well, you have the Huskies. Now, you and I well know because the Huskies are right around the corner for us, and we would love to see them do well. But we know how crappy the conference is when the Oregon Ducks is one of your most impressive teams, and they're doing everything they can to fire their head coach mid-season, and their head coach is going to press conferences. The media is asking Helfrich what he's going to do. Do you know what Helfrich Fridge's answer has been? We haven't even talked about this. Four times in a row, four press conferences in a row. Do you know what Helfrich's answer is for what he's going to do with his team?
Coach him.
Love him up.
Love him up.
Now, I don't know what in the hell that means. The word love, I suppose, is always a good thing, but what is up?
Well,
what does it mean to love up? One of those isn't even a word.
Hold on. As good as this is.
Going to love him up.
What did Randy say? Did he have to go on? I mean, did you blast him like you just blasted that tape?
I did it exactly what I'm doing right here. Now, he was a very nice guy, and he even laughed a little bit. And then I made my case. I said, man, you got Clemson. You don't have a recruit up there. You don't have a coach that's going anywhere. You don't even have a facility. That university does not produce anything good and historically never has. So just stop right there. I then made my case about the Washington Huskies. Washington Huskies are sitting at number four. They're sitting at number four. They don't even know if they can beat the nerds from Stanford that seems to put a great squad out. Every damn year, Stanford, which you can't even get into because of the requirements, seems to put out. They're the Cardinals. They're a bunch of nerds. This is who you're going to beat? Arizona State, one of the most beautiful campuses in the country. Hugely populated. They've got over 40,000 students out there, fully funded, everything great in the world you could think of, and they suck year in and year out. They are the in-state dominant when you compare them to the University of Arizona, the Wildcats, who suck. Then you've got the University of Oregon. Like I said, they want to get a guy out. All he can talk about is loving them up as he's losing week after week, and we are the in-state dominant over our own Oregon State. This is the conference that the Huskies are having to compete within, and they give them a number four ranking.
I just love.
Is there anyone out there that thinks that they could beat Penn State?
I love.
Absolutely
how fired
not,
up you are.
Including them. The rankings are garbage.
I'm gonna let you guys in on something right now. Is JOP is 66 days away from a fight, and I'm starting to feel it. So this is going to be, but you got to understand, you started this podcast when you were in retirement or whatever you want to call it. It was retirement. And now we're 66 days away from a fight, and I'm feeling that tension, and I love it. I love it. This will be interesting for me, because historically, Chaobe becomes a prick. Oh God!
I just don't understand why people can't see through the trees. I mean, here, I'll make this final point for you. The greats lose. Okay, the great teams get beat. Because they put themselves in environments where people can beat them. There has to be a consideration given to that. The Chicago Cubs, who just won the world championship.
Who did?
Who are unquestionably the best team in the world.
The Cubs?
Lost three games the week they won the world championship.
Yeah, buddy. I was at
the same week that they were declared the greatest in the world, they lost three games that week. The greats get beat. The greats play other greats. And when you have a college ranking system who is going to reward a Baylor University, a Tulane University, and Clemson, you can't come out on SportsCenter or anywhere else and act like this was a big surprise. It's not. It's not. It's a commentary on your own flawed system that ever put Clemson at number two. Huskies at number four. It's insane.
Or who was the dummy that said Mike Tyson was better than Muhammad Ali?
Right here.
Oh, my God. Did you hear yourself? I mean, was that you didn't sleep too well.
You know, rest his soul, and so I don't want to get too into it. But, yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough to hear those things. It is tough. You got to hear about the forums and the Ali's and the Frazier.
It's like, man, so wrong.
It was a pretty time in boxing, but it's not reality. It's just not. So, all right, here's the final thing. Do you have something else to add? I feel like you're going to chime in any point here. Did I win my point over Randy Moss? You be the judge. Who wins
this? I love that you're hot
about
it.
What's the bigger story?
I don't even care.
What's the bigger story? That there was great upsets over the weekend, or my story that the rankings suck?
Oh, man.
Certainly you will concede to me that Clemson being put in number two is outrageously wrong.
Listen.
Could you even imagine a Final Four playoff where Clemson is in it? And maybe even the Washington Huskies, according to those rankings.
I've come to a conclusion.
Well, yes or no. Make a decision.
Don't care. Don't care. My conclusion that I've come to is, goddamn, I love sports. And I probably can't pick them any better than the next guy.
Yeah.
I just can't, and I want to go over this real quick. There's this group called the UFC Betting Sharks, and they've let me into their group because they're big fans of the show. Mitch and Jay and Quentin. Anyway, there's a cat named Sharif Ahmed, and he's out in London. And I made the point that, goddamn, any gambler in the world that didn't know that was a majority draw isn't a gambler. Now, I may not be able to pick him, but I know what gambling is. Anyway, Mr. Sharif, you told me that if Connor won, which means you had a bunch of money on him, you were going to send the Godfather a jacket like Mr. Buffer. And I like that jacket.
Ooh.
See, yeah, exactly. So Sharif, you are out in, he went to Hackney Community College. He's in another part of, I think he's in London. Anyway, send the Godfather that jacket.
Yeah.
I want it.
They probably got a better record at Hackney Junior College in London than Clemson.
66 days away from JOP getting down. Now, whoa, 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 whoa. Bellator, let me tell you something, fellas. Move the date of Tito Chael to the Friday. The UFC just played their goddamn cards. You're not on a pay-per-view. And I checked, the forum's available. So for fight fans like me, move Tito and Chael to the Friday. And then you got the UFC that's coming in on the 21st. That's big, big news. That means they don't want, they want to fuck with old Bellator because of Tito and Chael. Well, Coker, just, they already played their cards. They already booked the venue. Move it to Friday and you're all good.
That's one theory. We, on the other hand, are going to compete. If the gentlemen want to compete, then we're going to compete. For Joel Superna, I am Chael P. Sonnen, and until tomorrow, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.